So we're 50 years old. We're 50 years old and we're still exploring. We've co-created a 10 weeks together that is a retrospective. It's about what we're proud of that we've done and honoring Liz Dotson Brown, Liz Dotson Gray, who was our leader for so many years. And we are doing 8 sessions on Zoom and 2 in person. So please track our program carefully so you can be part of us in both ways. When we thought about Liz Dotson Gray, we wanted to honor the things that were near and dear to her heart. She called herself an eco-feminist. She was really passionate about spirituality and the divine feminine, our relationship with the earth, how we can love the earth and how we can live in the earth seasons, and also how we can protect the earth and advocate for the earth. And she had a love of political and cultural issues and really making a difference in the world. So we've designed this 10 weeks to have some of our favorite speakers come back again and to address those issues. And as always, to try to be thoughtful, original, and provocative in what we bring to you. And really to create a series that Liz would be proud of. So we're going to do a little whirlwind through our history, these last week and this week, just to give you a sense of where we've come from. I'm going to show you a photograph. This is where we started in 1973. You notice the very formal dress and the hats. That is the beginning of Women Explored, then called Theological Opportunities Program, 1973. Britta Stendel started TOP for the wives of the husbands who were going to Harvard Divinity School. She knew that the women had much they needed to learn and wanted to share and wanted to grow with as well. So she created TOP, and she was assisted by a small group of women who were also working with her. Some of these women went on to become ministers in their own right as well. And then in 1978, Elizabeth Dotson Gray took over as coordinator, and she radically transformed the program. She opened up the advisory committee to anybody who wanted to be part of it. And she developed a feminist way of co-creating the series so that there was no hierarchy. Everyone was included, asked to say what was on their mind, what did they want to learn, what concerned them about what was happening in the world. And then she created a way to come up with a thread, a common umbrella, and then 10 topics underneath that, and then developed the idea of an existential focus. So not only was an expert being invited to come and to share and to teach, but a woman in the group would volunteer to present a shorter talk that was about her own personal experience of the topic. And that set a real tone of a group that was sharing with each other, not just learning from experts, but sharing with each other, informing each other, learning about each other as we went on. And for 32 years, Liz led TOP with her very loyal assistant and partner, David. He was devoted to the work that he did for us. And in 2003, they separated from Harvard University, and Liz became executive director, but not in a hierarchical sense. They created a nonprofit, and Liz and David continued to take care of us. We moved to different places during those years, and they retired in 2010. We've had 3 executive directors since then, Muna and Tracy and Maria. And then we came to a place of we need to just have a volunteer as our executive director to become volunteer, totally volunteer oriented. And as we were in the process of being that kind of organization, the pandemic came. And then we regrouped again and said, how can we still do what we do? And we learned Zoom. So ever exploring and ever stretching our knowledge, we learned Zoom and we learned how to offer Zoom, our program on Zoom. And we've been really cooking along, even with the pandemic. So now that brings us to today, to our 50th anniversary. Started last week, the day after International Women's Day, to present to you our spring series. And this week, our topic is aging with wisdom, opportunities and challenges. And we've invited back another one of our favorite speakers. Last week was Tim McCarthy. This week is Olivia Habersetzel, who's been with us before. And our existential focus today is going to be three women who are going to share a form of poetry that reflects their own journey and learning about aging. So to begin, we'll want to ask Karen Sheehan if she would begin. And Karen has been a flight attendant for 35 years and is now retired, and brings to everything she does a lifelong global view. So we welcome Karen and your poem.
Thank you very much. And Olivia, I'm delighted that you're joining us today. Even just the title of your book, Aging with Wisdom, gives me pause. As a child, I attended an elementary school, Catholic elementary school, in a small town, Church Point, Louisiana. In the second grade, we were taught what was thought to be a most important prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. I became hysterical. The teacher said, "Karen, Karen, you're crying. What's wrong?" And I said, "I don't want my dad, father in heaven. My daddy brought me to school today and he's supposed to pick me up in the afternoon. I need my daddy here, here with me." Unbeknownst to me, that experience was the challenging moment in my seeking wisdom. By my 40s, I took aging to heart. My growth with wisdom, opportunities led to deepening my spiritual life. The Lord's Prayer, though, remained an unsettled challenge. I joined a church with doors wide open to the holy by bringing in many names. Around that time, several of us spent a weekend together listening to first century Aramaic prayers. The word aboum, with its penetrating, breathy sound, opened me to the divine. When we were invited to write a prayer or a poem of our own, I let my childhood go for good, and I entered the true aging with wisdom, remembering the divine in every breath I breathe. I offer you my poem. As I breathe, breath that breathes breath into all, holy is your name, sacred is your call. Fill my fruitful arms with the collective ideals. Move me towards harmony with all creation. Inspire my desires to find the one heart's desire, pure love. Hold, O holy wisdom, hold me in your warm embrace. Fill me with your peaceful knowledge. Use me to create places of belonging and to give back to the divine source my support. Help me to loosen the binds to the past and to await the unfolding future. Let the present ripen in me, deepening my knowing and guide my steps in action. For you are the glorious harmony in creation. You are the sacred breath, inhaling and exhaling the oneness in all.
Take a breath, everyone.
Wow.
Thank you, Karen. I think we'll read or present all three of our poems, and then we'll open up for some discussion or questions. Thank you. Take another few breaths on that one. So our next poetry person is Ivyl Stratford-Kovner. Ivyl hikes with her husband and their Springer Spaniel. When the newspaper sought reflections for the 75th birthday of the Appalachian Trail, Ivel wrote a birthday poem to her. So many memories along her pathways. She teaches painting and plein air many years for the Cordova de Cordova Museum. One summer, a class for Harvard faculty who were under Ivel's care. She finds centering at CIMC. Thank you, Olivia and Larry. Celebrating Women Explore 50 years, she serves as a board member. So Ivel, to you.
Well, thank you, Linda, and I'm so happy to be here on the day Olivia will be sharing. I read Aging with Wisdom, and I actually have a poem about Stella Fox and my mother-in-law and my mother. But today, it's back to the newspaper and the Appalachian Trail. And I ask everyone to vote. There may be a name change. Instead of Appalachian, my original name 10 years ago, I'm considering Appalachiana. So here we go. A poem for the trail. Happy birthday, Appalachiana. Old girl, you have been there through 3 decades of our memories. My family hiked along your route at Cornwall Bridge the very first day they met my future husband. He and I walked your sections near height of the land with breathtaking vistas overlooking the lakes of Rangeley. We've made tracks in your mud. We've made long parallel ski lines in your snow. You've shielded us, extending limbs of multicolored leaves. You've exposed your contours through gray, barren branches. Your balance rock in Maine is a joy. We were dwarfed standing under the giant granite shelf. Presidentials are your buddies. We felt you curl yourself around their winding ridges as we climbed. Our old Springer spent 17 years running along your byways, dear Appalachiana, once encountering a surprise baby moose. You have not disappointed us in nearby New York State. Hats Rock, wooden marsh walkways, even a train station solely for you and your hikers. I've gathered stones from your well-worn paths as our young Springer dashes by, packed into my husband's backpack. Each rock is a reminder, dear 75-year-old friend, of your beauty. Happy birthday, Appalachiana.
Thank you. Thank you, Ivo. Let's take some moments to breathe in your words and your images and your honoring. And so I will introduce myself. I come before you today in my 76th year. The close, significant women in my life died young, both of my grandmothers and my mother. All died of cancer, gone before I even knew fully what I was losing for the future. Gone before I yearned for role models to show me the aging path. In my 50s, I began wondering, where was I going to learn intimately how to grow into my older years? And then a new possibility showed up, most surprisingly and most unexpectedly. So I invite you to close your eyes or not. I'm just going to go on a little bit of a visual journey together. That will be my poem. So you first caught my eye when you were just very, very small and close to the ground, behind my house at the bottom of my stoop stairs. Your green round leaves, two green round leaves. And I knew that you had showed up magically. I didn't plant you there. Perhaps you were growing from a bird seed that fell from my bird feeder. But I knew who you were. I knew you were a sunflower. And so I made a protective area for you so you could grow there right next to the driveway. And grew you did. You grew. And you grew, and you grew up to the second story where my deck was. And it was already a miracle that you had grown two stories, and your beautiful green leaves were leafing out, and there was lots of strong stalk in you, and growing and growing. And during the days, I could see the sun shining on your beautiful leaves. And I knew I was in the presence of some kind of miracle, but I had no idea what was coming next. And as the spring went on and we moved into summer, you started to develop a round head at the top of you. And I was so excited. And your head would turn towards the sun during the day. And towards the evening, it would turn towards the light that shone on the deck. And so I got to be with you up close and see every step of how you were growing. And I remember the day that I saw the covering coming over you and underneath some brown. And I said, oh, and I was just watching you beginning to blossom. And I could see all the green petals and the yellow petals covering your face. And I remembered when that was me as a young girl, just beginning, not shining, not showing, just beginning. And then one by one, the little green triangles that were holding down your beautiful petals let go, and let go one petal at a time. And here we are in the summer, and you are strong and tall and beautiful, and your yellow crown is glowing in the sun. And I remember myself. I remember myself when I came to the age of knowing I might be beautiful, of knowing I might attract bees or men or attention. And you were facing me at the night and facing the sun in the day. And I drank in your beauty and I drank in your light and your sunshine. And then it started to happen. I saw your yellow petals start to get a little bit frayed and start to curl in on themselves a bit. I said, oh, it was so hard to let go of your yellow petals, of that beauty and that light and that color. And I saw that your leaves were starting to get a little bit frayed, a little bit dry. And I watered you and watered you, and that didn't make a difference. You were on your life's path. And then I saw that your beautiful face was an amazing pattern of seeds, little green seeds that were growing as your petals were starting to fade. And one by one, your petals fell off that summer. And one by one, your leaves started to dry, and they had turned from green to gray. And as they turned from green to gray, their beautiful heart shape becoming more wrinkled, the mound of your seeds turned blacker and blacker and bigger and bigger. And you were mounding out with seeds. And as the seeds became bigger and heavier, you started to stoop over. I couldn't look in your face in the same way anymore, because what you were carrying of your life's work was getting heavy, and it pulled you down. And then I watched as your leaves, which I could have been sad about, but I would see in the wind that because they were lighter now, and because your leaves were hanging and grayed and wrinkled and even a little furry. When the wind would blow, they would dance. So your beautiful tall stalk became a stalk of dancing gray wrinkled leaves in the wind. And your beautiful crown was gone, but all life was being put into the seeds. And then I watched the birds come, and I watched the birds stand on your stooped stem and help themselves to a meal. And then I collected some of your seeds. And I knew then that I was learning from you. I began to call you grandmother. I began to call myself granddaughter of sunflower, because seeing your aging taught me that I can age with beauty, just differently. I can age with strength, even if I stoop over. I can age full of all of the life that I've had, all the stories that I have inside me, all the learnings. And then as I get older, I can send out those seeds. And each one of them has something in them that will grow and become another life, will teach somebody, will help somebody, will spread what little wisdom I've acquired to others. And so, Grandmother Sunflower, you were my gift, my miracle, that year as I was yearning for someone to teach me the aging path. And as the fall wore on and it was time to say goodbye, I tried to pull out your stalk, and it was really hard to pull out. Your roots were deep. Your stalk was strong, and your stalk was so strong, even after the season was over, the season of your life and the season of the year, that I could lean on it when I walked. It was so strong. And I had your seeds to plant for the future. The birds were carrying your seeds to plant wherever they were going to be planted, and your life was going to go on in a different form. Thank you, Grandmother Sunflower. So take a minute to take the story in, whatever images or thoughts or feelings you have. And we have a few minutes to hear, for Ivo and Karen and myself to hear from you, to hear what you're thinking about, or to ask questions, any way that you want to bring reflections to us before we invite Olivia to come forward. So is there anyone who has something to share?
Well, I really identify with your sunflower, and they are so magnificent. And they just tell us so much, their own story. And Karen, I was worried about my father. My mother had already left for Harlem on the 5:30 a.m. train from our house, so my father had to bring me to my first day of kindergarten. And I said, my name is Margaret Ivel Princess Stratford. So I'm very attached to my dad too.
Any other questions?
Comments? Hold on. I really found it inspiring to listen to each poem. So the unique experience and just expanded with me, and I really appreciate it, and it'll be with me for a long time. Thank you. All three poems, magnificent. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula.
I loved the images and they were very, very vivid, each one of them. And I can't help but go to my head and think of the three areas, Linda, that you talked about with Liz, the ecofeminism, the spirituality, et cetera. And to think of these poems were just perfect, and how they lifted that up even more. And you can feel it in your voices. You know, you not only gave it to us, but you got to, in Karen's words, sort of, you know, breathe it in again. And just the spirituality of it all and the way it all comes together, and we keep seeing it over and over and over again.
That's a powerful reflection, because it was quite accidental. The three of us volunteered and we didn't intend to do that, but yes, you're right, it happened. Yes, thank you, Liz.
Wonderful. I have a little birthday candle for Rue, Paula's wonderful dog Rue, and for all of us, 50 years. Here it is.
Thank you. I think you had your hand up, and Barbara.
Can we get a copy of those poems? I know we've got a recording, but can we get the printed copy somehow?
Yeah, I can put it in the resource. I can update it to the resource list.
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. I'll put it on today's Top of My Mind. I'll put all three.
Yeah, not surprisingly, mine is not written out.
Well, if
I love that. I love it, Linda. I love it.
If somebody wants to volunteer.
It lives inside of me.
Somebody wants to volunteer to type it up from the recording, I can put that on the page.